Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon.
Oh.
And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please just get on with the show. Yes.
Welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. My name is Joe, and we are playing Bleak Prospect, the Fantastic Depression. You have Fantastic?
Right.
Fantastic Depression based era scenario written by Scott Dorwood. We are on episode 2, and I am joined by 5 fantastic players. So we're going to do a brief introduction, a brief recap, and then we're going to jump straight back into the story. So, as I said, my name is Joe. Dave, who are you and who are you playing tonight?
Hey, I'm Dave, and I'm playing the long established but recently nerfed. Screw you, Joe. ill, decrepit, and broke Finn Anders. The depression has not been kind to him. Neither has the...
It's been a number of years since we've seen Finn.
But yes, the intervening years have not been kind.
And Niall, welcome back. Who are you playing tonight? I know you've been getting on well with Finn Anders.
I am playing Thomas Dolan, who is... He used to be a big shot in the textile industries, but through every stroke of bad luck known to mankind, he just lost it all after the stock market crashed in 1929. So now he's living in a shanty town called Hooverville.
But he's also become delightfully bitter.
I was going to say, not at all a bitter asshole about it.
And anyone who kind of has the attitude or look of like upper class to him, he's become very bitter towards after realizing that like... None of his friends that he had back in the past who stayed successful and wealthy even had time for him once he fell on hard times.
So he's a poor judge of character, gotcha. Okay.
What?
So he's a poor judge of character.
So, Corin, aww, welcome back. Who are you playing tonight?
Huh? Oh, yeah, I am playing Carl Rothstein, who is... Wait a minute. He is...
That's all we know about him.
Yeah, I don't know. He hasn't talked too much. He's just cynical.
Well, he said a lot of one-liners.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
Lots of zingers. No. So, Carl Rothstein is he's a German senior academic, or at least he used to be, for the physics department at Miskatonic University. But, you know, depression, everything went shit. Life weft him. That was nice, right?
So, Lindy, we edit really hard when it comes together for the show.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Cool.
Because I'm tripping over everything right now. Yeah, life really sort of fell apart for poor old Carl. And he finds himself in this, shanty town in Crawley. And, he's found a little bit of hope in amongst some friends. That's about it.
And one of those friends is Lisa's character. Welcome back, Lisa. Who are you playing tonight?
Hello, I'm Lisa Lee, and I'm playing Agatha Priestley. She's a journalist. She once was very well-to-do and now has completely fallen on hard times. She and her husband actually lost their home, and now they're living in Hooverville, and she has recently lost her husband as well to a horrible, mysterious disease. And most of their savings was lost when their jobs were both lost under mysterious circumstances.
And last but by no means least, we have Lindy. Welcome back, Lindy. Who are you playing tonight?
Hi, I'll be playing Maureen Freyan, Southern Belle, former socialite. She used to be very old money, but this is kind of proof that the Depression hit those who even had a lot of money really hard. And she's just recently had her daughter been kidnapped, and that's pretty much all that she's got left since her husband decided to take himself out of the equation about a year ago, and living in Hooverville with the rest of them, but... Now she's kind of scraping the very bottom of the barrel and trying to get her daughter back at any means necessary.
So, and I believe Lindy is very kindly offered to do the recap this week. So, over to you, Lindy.
Right. Maureen's kind of just going to be, like, sitting on the curb outside of the Blue Star Diner. And she's holding this bottle. She's looking at this bottle of moonshine that she may or may not have acquired from Nancy. And she's like, "You're the only one who understands me, moonshine. I just, yesterday, Harold, he died. That was Miss Agatha's husband. And then just kind of disintegrated, I think. That was pretty disturbing, not gonna lie. And then we all went to bed. There was this investigator man. He's a police officer. Maybe he can help. Cause sometime in the night, they took Esther. And I gotta save her. She's the only thing I've got left. And I've gotta make I gotta do better for her. So we can do this together, Moonshine. just you and me. Maybe some help from these other poor souls from Hooverville."
So, Ada, the woman who owns the diner, is kind of stood behind you and looks at the kind of five of you sat in the gutter, and it just doesn't know what to do. And she's kind of saying, "So yeah, I phoned the police, and they, as soon as I said Hooverville, they refused to get out. It's disgusting. I know you folks have been down on your luck, and but this isn't right. If that man in that black sedan, the strange thing, like a Madame X, Cadillac 16, Madame X, it was. And Thomas Dolan, you know that car."
"Do I? Why do I know that car?"
"Because it used to be yours."
Oh, wow.
What car did you say there, Ada? Sorry?
"It was a huge thing, a black Cadillac with blacked out windows. Full it was. Man inside took that poor little girl. It's not right. I don't understand why the police didn't come out. But as soon as I said Hooverville, they shut up. Like I just said, come to hell and help Satan out. It was almost like they'd been told not to help you folks."
You didn't see anyone come in or get in or get out of the car, did you?"
No. It just drove by all of a sudden. I have problems sleeping. There's issues with the anyway. I don't want to bother with my problems, but." "But the, this huge thing drove by last night about 2 a.m.
"And was that going towards town or away from town?"
"Oh, no, towards town it was. Going at speed as well, that's why I remember it." "Huge black car. And, Thomas, you know that it is owned, along with your house and various other possessions, by a man named Roscoe Malloy."
"Yeah, I know who he is."
Spot on.
That was good.
"Well, I know who the fuck that is."
"All right."
"I know this is probably not the right thing to say, but would you folks just mind moving along? You're scaring away my customers, and I'll try the police again. But maybe will you be in the Hooverville? I mean, the Hooverville is a bit derogatory.
If we go anywhere else, Ada, we'll let you know. Sorry for disturbing you.
You know what would help us move along, Ada? Coffee." "Coffee would help."
I'll see what I can do, but if you folks can just get out of sight of my I've got a business to run, and I'm worried I'm going to lose it and lose everything.
I really want to say make me, but I'm not going to. It's fine.
give us coffee, Ada, and I'll wash your dishes later.
I'll see what I can do.
Thank you.
Please just move along." And she kind of hastens off.
At this, Finn follows after her to use the phone.
And okay, so she sort of goes into the diner, and the door sort of clangs and jingles, and then you kind of hits your hand, and she turns around and goes, "Who in the world are you?"
Fernandez, detective with the 32nd precinct. I need to use your phone."
"Detective?" And she kind of looks you up and down at your kind of torn and shabby three-piece suit and your, you know, all the dust and like a skin covering your body, and you. And she's like, I'm afraid, sir, you'll have to go into town. I don't serve vagrants here."
I give her the intimidating eyebrow.
Okay, would you like to roll intimidation for that eyebrow?
I like how it's not an intimidating eyebrow. It's the intimidating eyebrow.
Oh, fuck, I rolled a 59. Yeah. I am.
She does not seem intimidated at all.
I am not going to take no for an answer, so she can assault me if I want. If she wants, I'm heading for the phone.
He has a 60 in eyebrow.
I was going to say, if he like critically failed,
push the roll,
his eyebrow would just have to come off.
I mean, that's what. Yeah, this is a good thing. So, how are you going by her? Do you want to continue intimidating her, or are you going to get by her with force? She's quite a large, stocky lady, and she's got her arms folded across her sort of red plaid shirt.
Well, I mean, how narrow is this way? I'm just going to ignore her.
No, she's blocking. She's very much blocking the door to the diner.
Like a linebacker.
Yeah.
Do I need to remind you what the penalties are for impeding a police officer in the execution of his duties?
If you really are a police officer, sir, I'm going to have to see some ID.
Are we still there, or are we gone?
I'd say you're the other side of the car park.
I got hit on the head and rolled into a fucking Hooverville, where apparently I was unconscious for 2 weeks, woke up, my wallet, my badge, my gun were all gone. You think I've had a hard enough week as it is without some fat, ugly, stuck-up diner owner getting in my way?
Oh, that'll help, sure.
So, at this moment, the patrons of
dies.
The diner have kind of have taken up umbrage with this, and they're sort of, so the two businessmen are now sort of approaching the door behind her, and the young couple are looking shocked and mortified. But go ahead, give me your pushed roll for your intimidate.
I roll a success, 35 against 40.
So she just kind of like steps back, completely shocked and a bit scared as well, and you just barge by her.
Well, I mean, policemen in the 20s and 30s weren't the most gentle.
I love how you could rewrite that entire scene to just have Finn Anders as Judge Dredd and just be like,
I am
walks in.
Especially if Finn was, you know, involved in like the widows and orphans funds kind of police.
Widows
almost
and orphans.
Certainly.
Yeah.
So Finn, with your successful intimidate role, you've not just intimidated Ada, but you've also intimidated the two businessmen who kind of like are shocked as you storm by them over to the phone, and then they pay up and leave.
At least they paid.
I call my precinct, which I've probably named a different precinct every time I've played Finn, but anyway.
Which is awesome.
So, well, when you got as many fingers in as many pies as I do, you got to transfer around a bit.
So you've moved around a bit. I mean, this is the thing. So like, there's this kind of painful moment where you speak to the operator and she puts you through, and you're kind of just on this deadline. And Ada is just like still sort of stood against the door, half knocked back, half leaning against it, looking shocked and sort of unable, not sure what to do. And the young couple are just trying to eat as fast as they can so they can get away from you. And eventually you're put through. And so the what precinct did you say it was?
I think I said the 32nd.
Yeah.
So there's the phone suddenly picks up and you hear this voice saying,
"This is Sergeant Ackerman from the 32nd Precinct. Who is this, please?"
Do I recognize Sergeant Ackerman?
Oh yeah, yeah. He's someone who worked below you.
Ackerman, it's Finn. I need you.
Finn, you would dare call the 32nd Precinct after the shit you pulled last year?
Which shit is this?
The fresh one.
It's like it's last year.
The one that's still steaming.
Let's put it this way. You are not welcome here. And you are not welcome in any precinct in New York.
Are we in New York? Not Boston.
Was it Boston? I thought you were New York.
I was Boston. Boston. Last year. I am so confused. Look, just put me through the captain. I don't need any lip off the lower orders.
He kind of chuckles and he sort of says,
"Oh, how the mighty are fallen, eh, Finn? I'll go and see if the captain will talk to you."
And there's like, you hear the sort of telephone receiver being put down on the desk, and then the sound of him walking off.
I sort of look at the diner owner. Some coffee would be nice.
Oh.
So the young couple kind of pay up. They look at you really fearfully and they just run out of the diner. And you notice they're kind of like holding their hands over their mouths and noses as they do that. And then suddenly you hear the voice on the phone. You recognize it as... Do you want to name the captain or do you want me to?
You go ahead.
Mr. Johnson.
Captain, well, go for it. Captain Johnson.
I was going to say, it's Boston and New York is primarily Irish during those periods, so any Irish last name would work quite well.
McDonough. Yeah.
Well, Finn, what you doing here on the phone? When you quit after, all that shit that went down last year, I didn't expect to hear you again. What can we do for you?
Oh, God, did you have to do an Irish accent?
Hey, you don't get preferential treatment. Any English accent, we will butcher. And we will butcher them all equally.
Just be glad it's not Ken.
Just be glad it's not Ken. No, it should be... there's a new captain, and it's... What's his name?
Well, I think you're fine.
Dennis should be the new captain. Are any memories, is this sparking any bells for me when he said I quit last year? Shit, nothing.
Give me an idea roll.
Ooh.
I succeed. 25 against 55.
Okay, so things are beginning to come back. There was a case about a year ago. In fact, probably the case that brought you to where you are now. Involving these businessmen, and it seems that you unwittingly caused problems higher up, and somehow they caused your reputation to be destroyed. And basically, you were given the choice of either taking early retirement or being fired, and getting angry and losing your shit, you quit on the spot. You spent the last year pretty much at the bottom of a barrel until you decided to get to the source of your problem by coming to where you are now, which is Crawley. And with that idea roll, you remember the name Theodore Sedgwick, but you're not sure why. And you've been kind of like staring into the distance while this has been going on, and the guy on the phone is going,
Ben, what's going on? Why are you phoning here? I thought we told you not to phone here again.
Yeah, I was just gonna... There's a missing girl I just stumbled across. Case, there seems to have been a kidnapping down here in Crawley. Thought I'd call the finest.
That's very fine and good of you, but we don't cover Crawley, wherever the hell that is. And Finn, don't call back here.
And the phone hangs up.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, no. I'll wait for your car.
And I hang up and walk out.
Yeah.
Internally reeling.
And the terrified Ada is like hands you a cup of coffee with shaking hands.
Is the coffee... It doesn't matter how hot it is. I more or less down it and walk out the front door. just in shock. Just almost just remembering all of how, you know, how almost my entire life, my entire identity was just ripped away a year ago.
The new objective of the game now is to make sure that Finanders does not spill the beans to Thomas Dolan because he would revel in this glory.
Yep.
Speaking of which, so you've all seen this. You've seen Finn push his way in. The various diners leave and he comes out and he looks ill. Like he is now completely pale. And the raw red parts of his skin where it's flaked away are standing up vividly against his unshaven face.
I shout across the parking lot. How'd it go, big shot?
I walk directly towards Thomas.
I put my hand in my back pocket and clench the knife that I have. Look, I wanted to talk to you. Can I talk to you in private over here?
Yeah, what do you want?
Ada, she said she saw a Cadillac, black Cadillac. The exact car she described is a car that I used to have. And I don't think it's coincidence that it was out this way. It'd be the odds of that happening and with the economic standing of this place and the shanty town that I live in. So I might have a lead on where we can maybe look for Maureen's child.
just sort of in a stunned sort of still look on his face, he just sort of nods and says, okay. Who does the car belong to now?
So when my company went under and when we got back up running and when I got sick, a manager I used to have called Roscoe Malloy, he fucked me over. Things were going good for him, and when I got sick, he took over, and when I got back on my feet, he just didn't let me back in. He refused to acknowledge me, kicked me out of my own company, took everything I had.
This may sound like an odd question, but remember, I'm suffering from a recent head injury. Where the fuck are we?
We're at Crowley in Massachusetts. Where we are now, we're Hooverville or Shantytown. We're like 3 to 4 miles outside of Crowley, and Crowley is maybe a half an hour drive from Arkham. From there, I'm sure you can, the rest of your way around to Boston and whatnot.
All right, we'll investigate this. Sorry, what was his name again? I need to make another note.
Roscoe Malloy.
That's not a gangster name.
Right.
This might sound out of the blue, but does the name Theodore Sedgwick mean anything to you?
Does it, Joe?
Give me a idea roll.
Ooh. Can I hear all this?
I don't know. Can they hear all this? You said you'd stepped away. How far did you step away?
Just to the side. I didn't want to say anything for Maureen to hear yet because I don't want her to get kind of fly off the handle that I said.
Maureen is talking to her moonshine bottle and kind of laying on the curb, and she's petting it.
I rolled an 86 versus that, so no. The name is not familiar to me.
So Lisa, I'd say with Agatha, it's kind of up to you. If you were staying with Maureen, then I'm going to require a listen roll. If you were kind of curious about what they were talking about, then I can say, yeah, you overheard it. Leave it completely up to you.
The name means nothing to me, but maybe ask around. One of these guys might know something. We all fell in hard times, but we all used to have, relatively... Nope, she knows nothing.
Nope, I did not hear it. I'm still concentrating on trying to figure out a way to get toast, scraps, and coffee from Ada.
So an idea roll is against your intelligence, right?
Yeah.
or is it half?
It's your full intelligence.
Okay, so I rolled 66 against 70.
That's a pass.
Okay, so, and this is against Theodore Sedgwick.
Mm-hmm.
So, at first you're like, where do I know that name? It plays around your mind. You kind of play back your previous life. And you think you used to know a scientist by the name of Hawks. Now, Hawks quit the Miskatonic University a number of years ago and then disappeared. He was said to have got some sort of breakthrough, and he quit to go and figure it out.
Yes.
And he took some... various people with him, including some graduate students, and one of those graduate students was a man named Theodore Sedgwick, and he followed him to Crawley.
I believe I know this name, Mr. Finn.
He sort of perks up and looks over at someone who is not included in the conversation.
So, Mr. Finn, I believe I heard... I think I overheard you there mentioning a name. Can you say it again?
Theodore Sedgwick.
Theodore Sedgwick. Yes. So when I was working at the Miskatonic University, there was a professor, Aston Hawks, who had made this breakthrough, and he was moving away and taking some graduates with him to work on this. And I believe one of those graduates was this man you speak of.
Do you know anything more about him?
I only know that Aston Hawks has disappeared. And I don't know where he's gone.
Jesus Christ, it's going round.
It's quite troubling.
Sort of looks down, shakes his head, rubs his temples. And thinks to himself, once a cop, always a cop. Right. First things first. We better focus on Miss
Maureen.
Sorry, Mrs. Maureen, Mrs. Maureen's daughter. Where does
it's Miss? My husband's dead.
You're still Mrs. as a widow. Once you're married, you're Mrs. for life. Where does this Roscoe Malloy live? Looking at Thomas.
Joe, am I safe to assume that he's taken up residence where I used to live?
Yeah, and he gloated about it. Like, everything prick. You lost that he gained, he made sure that you knew. And the last image you have is him waving you goodbye as you walk down the road towards the Hooverville. So, yeah, he has taken up residence in your mansion. It's a small country house called Greenlays, just off the Arkham Road.
Greenlays, as in L-A-Y-S?
So Green, L-E-Y-S, yeah.
Yeah, L-E-Y-S. Greenlays. Just outside Crowley, is it?
Yeah, so you're going to have to... it's a different part of Crowley. You're going to have to go into Crowley and then out of Crowley again to get to it.
Okay, cool. Well, he's living in my old house, just on the outside of Crowley. It's a mansion. It's pretty easy to find.
Well, let's head there first, shall we?
Sounds like a plan, yeah.
One second, Thomas. So you're saying this man has your car and your house?
Yes.
I am so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl.
This is...
always the empath.
This is... I'm like, always the empath. I'm like, yeah. This is truly troubling news. I think we should go say hello.
Yeah. That's definitely one thing. So, will we run this plan by the girls, or...?
This is probably for the best, yes.
Okay. So... Maureen,
you go talk to him. I need a minute to think.
That's fine.
Need a minute to reel internally. <Yeah.
clears throat> Hello, Maureen, Agatha. So,
Carl.
She drapes herself on him.
Yeah, she just stumbles over and just. I just don't know what I'm gonna do.
I think you need to stay away from the moonshine for a moment. Things are getting a little out of hand. I understand that your daughter has been taken, but I think we have a lead. We may know where she has been taken to.
You do?
So you recall these tracks?
Because I found the tracks!
Yes.
It's exactly
actually,
because you found the tracks.
Exactly this, yes. So it was... we found out what kind of model car it was. Apparently it used to belong to Thomas here. And this car was taken by his boss.
Not my boss.
Oh, not your boss?
I was his boss. I got sick.
Oh.
He took over while I was away.
So he's essentially taken your entire life.
Yes.
Mm. Okay, right. So we believe that he... well, apparently we know that he is living in Thomas's old house. And we're going to attempt to contact him because... this was the car that has your child in it.
He took Thomas's house and his car and my daughter. This man just needs to stop taking things that ain't his.
We should call him Mr. Taker.
Everything that's not his.
Mr. Taker. All right, let's go see this Mr. Taker.
Roscoe Taker.
To Thomas and Carl, Finn says under his breath, I ain't sure that this... they might, that there'll be any help. So look at the sobbing, drunken.
I walk past Finn and I put my hand on his shoulder. I'm like, all right, Finn, you try telling her she can't come.
And walk away.
And we just kind of watch.
And stroll off.
Nope.
Yeah. And I will just sit here eating my imaginary popcorn.
That's good popcorn.
I say imaginary because we are all destitute and life is pointless.
Okay, so while this is going on, you kind of look around and there's kind of like a little dusty road that leads down a hill towards the Hooverville. And walking up it is Dr. Nathaniel Coombs. And he kind of gets to top and he sees you all kind of sat in the dust outside the diner and starts waving in your direction.
So it's
about 200 feet away.
I'll wave back.
He's probably confused. He's like, why are they all at the diner? Ada always gets angry at them when they hang out there.
Yeah, you said he waved. I wanted to flip him off, but Carl wouldn't do that.
So can we go over and explain that we can't help him bring the body to the hospital? Well, we have to go to Crowley anyway, I guess, so we can bring him along with us as far as there.
Carl would quote Nietzsche at him.
Yeah, probably.
More cheerfully nihilistic phrases. Yeah. I'll wave at the doctor and approach him.
So he implores all of you to help him take the body into the hospital. To do that would involve walking the 3 to 4 miles, carrying some sort of gurney or stretcher that you'd have to make. So it's going to significantly slow you down.
Are you sure now? There wasn't really much left of him.
Can we not just put a sample in an urn? We don't even have to cremate him or anything.
You know those hobo sacks? Like in the stick? Would he not just fit in one of those? Yes.
A little bundle.
It weren't at all a total invention of cartoonists.
He did disintegrate a lot.
And he kind of looks at you all and kind of goes, I didn't really want to mention this, but there's something strange about the body. They're like egg sacs.
Yes, I know.
They're in his flesh.
Mr. Coombs.
Next to all of his organs. There's dozens of them, and there's something inside, something alive. Tiny
yes, I saw them, Doctor. I saw them. We all saw them. What I want to know is, do we have them inside us as well?
Finn's just like, nope, don't want to hear that. La 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 la.
Straight to the point here, Lisa.
quite literally just sort of walks away, head down, muttering to himself, does not want to know this information.
So the doctor goes, no, I'm sure it was just Harold. I'm sure we're all fine.
How do you know? How do you know?
If anyone wants to make a psychology roll, they are welcome to. He is not a good liar.
Hell no.
Mr. Combs, I have a very important question for you. Did you remember to roll sanity?
He is white and shaky.
78 over 70.
You definitely get the impression he is.
Somebody clearly failed their role.
Oh,
can
I use luck? Can I spend some luck? Do I have any luck?
Well, actually, Lisa, by failing, you genuinely believe his platitudes. And you sort of said, I'm sure we're fine. And you're like, oh, okay.
Well, that's good. That's great. Doctor, that's a relief to know.
We're not fine! Esther's missing!
Yeah, Esther has been taken last night.
She done been kidnapped.
She is right about that, Doctor. And maybe they took her because she's got them inside her. I don't know.
Agatha,
oh,
don't
you
say
be
that.
Saying nothing like that. Wait a
second. We don't know where they came from. We don't know what they do. I'd kill for a cup of coffee. But Doctor, we need to get to town with the body. Is it even intact? I hate to say. Oh, Harold.
He kind of looks imploringly at all of you and goes, "I'm not sure if we can even move it, but I'm going to walk to town. I'm going to talk to Dr. Cavendish and implore him for some more help. He can't ignore us anymore. I mean, he's given us supplies, but I'm sure that's just out of guilt. We used to be former colleagues before I lost everything.
Well, if we need to move a body back into town, on our way into town already, I suppose we can do that, but we do need to hurry.
Just desperate to get anything moving anywhere. Finn just... All right, let's get this done. And sort of starts looking around for poles that could literally sort of be almost poles that could be turned into a gurney, just long sticks or.
Are there cars in the parking lot?
the two cars that were there are now no longer
Shit.
There, but a pickup truck has just kind of pulled up there. And a kind of farmer type guy in overalls and sort of duggarees has just kind of jumped out of the cab and then pulled himself into the diner.
Oh, I am going for that truck. And I want to try to take that truck.
Okay. So you're doing this while the whole conversation's going on, the arguments over polls.
I'm just like nodding, and backing up, It's a good idea.
You get to the truck. The door is not locked.
They didn't really have, super easy to steal cars in the 20s.
So, and we've had many conversations. We've had angry fans right in over the last 3.5 years. There is no ignition key, so there'd be like a thing at the front that you have to turn, and then you're gone. You know, you're doing it. This is fun.
Okay.
So, do you have any drive auto skills?
I don't think I do. My stealth is 50. My locksmith is 40. Drive auto, 40.
40. I'll give you a choice. You can do this as a drive auto and try and pull out really quickly, or you can do this as a stealth to try and get the whole car running or the whole truck running before he's noticed and then jump in and disappear.
Well, I have 10 more.
Well, the thing is, do we have the body with us?
You're like 200 feet away at this point.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. Stealth. I did it! 41 over 50.
So you have very stealthily got the car running. There's no sign of anyone noticing the diner, and you're in the cab, hands in the steering wheel. No one's noticed. Where are you going?
I'm going to slowly go drive it. Kind of. It's gonna be one of those really ridiculous, like slow motion heists of like turning it around in the parking lot, and then going and waving to my crew from the driver's like, okay, let's go, get the body, go to town, and find Esther, right? Find Esther. Let's go. Come on.
So at the moment you're kind of talking to yourself, and for everyone else, you see this like truck slowly drive towards you, then pull up and stop next to you. and that's when Agatha kind of leans out.
Hey, I've got it. Solution, right? Solution. Let's go. Let's go.
Also see in the distance the diner door bursting open, and this kind of huge farmer guy sort of waving in your direction.
Hop to TikTok. Let's go.
Somebody has access to food and clean water. Right, let's get inside the car.
It's a pickup. Jump in the back.
Yeah, let's go.
Finn's just going to go, shit. Fuck it. And jump up on, literally on the running board on the driver's side of the car.
Yep.
And just, get in. Drive, woman.
So Nathaniel is much less sure about joining you, but kind of like as you drive off at the last minute, he's like, "Oh no, actually, I'm going to come."
So he tries to run after his arm and like.
Okay, so with a grab, he got that advantage. No, so he rolls a 59 and 85, so he fails and he kind of slips and falls headfirst into the dust, and you kind of drive off into the distance. And you just
can
hear
you make him push the roll?
Tot. Oh, well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yes!
Oh!
So he kind of feels himself tripping, and he just like dives forwards, and his like fingers just catch in the back of the car, and he's like dragged for a few meters as you kind of accelerate away, and then Thomas Dolan kind of pulls him on the cab, and he's like, "Oh, I didn't think I was going to make it there." And he starts like coughing, and this sort of dust begins to puff with every cough.
Oh! I cover my mouth and just like. Shirt up with that.
And he wipes his hand, and there's like blood on his hand, which he tries to hide from all of you.
I have seen way too many science fiction and fantasy films where stuff like this has happened. The mental images are so vivid, they're making me feel nauseous.
Yeah,
I know.
Desperate times.
I literally watched something yesterday where a character did that, where he coughs up and there's blood in his hand and he hides it. Like,
every time a lunger or a sick person coughs up blood, they hide it. This is a rule of filmmaking.
So, Agatha, where are you going to drive to? So, it won't take long for you to do the 3 or so miles into town.
I was going to pick up the body, like grab the body.
No, the police aren't going to come out here.
Right, the police aren't going to come.
The police will come out here for residents of Hooverville. They will come out to kick the living shit out of residents of Hooverville.
Right. I want to pick up the body and then drive to town.
So if you want to pick up the body, you're going to have to stop
Or one of the...
You're going to have to drive down quite a rickety, quite a thin, steep path to the edge of the camp. Then you're going to... It's not going to be a quick thing.
Actually...
You don't have to kind of all...
I would be driving going, okay, where are we going? We're going town, going to the body. And like, we're weaving on the road. Like as the argument is happening. Like Cruella de Vil driving.
We're on the back.
Who's in the cab with Agatha? You can help advise, or are you all on the back?
I'm on the back.
We're on the back. Yeah.
I'm sort of next to her on the running board.
Yeah. So tell us, where are we going? Where?
Well, we better pick up that body first. I mean, I assume that's why you stole the car.
Okay.
Okay. So the car kind of. Are you gonna try and like handbrake turn it, or are you just sort of turning around?
I'm just turning around.
Okay, so running towards you as you sort of begin to turn around is the extremely angry farmer type, and he's like screaming obscenities at you.
Desperate times, desperate measures. We'll be back, and I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna gun it.
We'll be back. We're just borrowing.
Yeah, I'm just gunning it.
So it takes, I don't know, about an hour to get to town. Is that right? How long would it take? It probably wouldn't take that long, would it? They would go about 30 miles an hour in those times. So. Probably about 15-20 minutes to get
pocket
into
it,
town.
To pocket it.
It's a small town, probably about 15,000 souls. It's got a main street and various other kind of tributaries which have various shops and all sorts of things. Dr. Coombs asks you to drop him off on a side street, and he says he's going to go to the hospital himself and try and implore Dr. Cavendish to come and collect the body. Does anyone want to go with him?
I'll accompany him just to help and keep an ear out.
Or would you rather go with the others to... I don't know, where...
Oh,
is
the car not waiting?
Like, are we not going to just drop off
the body? No. He says, no, don't wait for me. I don't think it'll be long before that man calls the police and,
In that case, no.
Get this car off the road.
So maybe we should ditch the car somewhere,
I'll try and get Dr. Cavendish to get an ambulance. He's turned me down for many things, but he won't turn down a body, surely.
We'll come by the hospital later for you, all right?
Thank you, and good luck.
Okay.
Take care of yourselves.
Thank you, Doc.
You too!
Should we go... how far is the place where we think they took your daughter? How far? Greenlay?
My house? Greenlay's? Greenlay's is just on the other side of town.
Oh, that's...
Not a long drive.
So maybe we should drive there.
Yeah, let's go. But, maybe park a bit out so that they don't see us coming, because I don't want to be announced arriving here.
So, as you pass by the newspaper where Agatha you worked, and you see your old boss kind of putting out, opening the door and opening the shutters and things like that, and you do think sadly about the times you worked there, and it's where you met poor Harold. And it's also it's the place where it saw the end of your life. Something Harold was investigating, something that he touched upon, which caused him and you to be fired, which ended up with you both at the Hooverville. Although you do think to yourself that both of you started showing signs of this terrible illness before you arrived at the camp. But that thought kind of disappears from your mind as you continue out of town. And do you want to drive up the carriageway towards Greenlays, or are you going to ditch the car nearby?
I'd rather if Greenlays has like a long drive, I'd like to hide the car, like somewhere we can get back to it, but off, like hidden from the road, maybe.
Yeah, so like I kind of run up by everyone else, like, well, if they've robbed Maureen's daughter, do you guys want to be arriving as a big group into a place where these people that robbed a child are? Or do we want to approach it?
What other choice we have?
Probably better that we approach it separately.
Stealthily?
From different angles. Stealthily.
So, as you're kind of are you going to park up on the road? If you find a lay-by or something, or are you going to go up the driveway and try and park it within the grounds of the house
within
itself?
Within the grounds of the house itself, and I'll kind of hide it off the road in some bushes, maybe. And then, why don't I just walk right up to the front door while you guys do something? I'll be your distraction. I'll come with questions or with the reporter that I am. I'm sure that they will not like to see me, but I should be able to, you know, annoy them enough to occupy them.
Yeah.
While you get inside.
All right, that sounds good.
Yep.
I know the who's way gonna, in. I know all the
who's
ways
gonna
around.
Who's going to be in charge of hiding, like disguising the car?
I will. Me.
Okay. Can you give me a stealth roll?
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we go.
And I'm assuming everyone's aiding you, so you can roll with advantage.
Yeah, I still win.
So bonus dice. So what did you get?
That was a 48.
Ooh, so that's
over 50.
Over
and that
50.
Rolled that D10.
Fantastic.
I rolled
that's
10.
Hard success, not quite an extreme success. So you've hidden the car very, very well in the. I mean, so these are kind of deciduous trees. They've all kind of lost their leaves and things like that. But you do find enough kind of leaves and various branches to disguise it. And as you're just finishing up, you hear the sound of a car coming down the carriageway from the house towards you.
No. If we have the chance to get into the house when there's no one there, we should take that. We all hide.
All right.
Okay.
And on the way to the house, Maureen is probably actually fairly quiet for once, as the full effect of the moonshine's kicked in, and maybe she's tried to like going into town. It's kind of like a habit just from her former social lightness. She'd try to kind of gussy herself up, you know, try to comb through her hair with her fingers, maybe pull out like the tiniest last bit of a little tube of lipstick, put it on, and just make herself more presentable.
So the car coming down the drive towards you. So everyone's sort of staying hidden, within the car or near the car. It's not Roscoe Malloy's car or your old car, Thomas Dolan. It's a different one. This is like an incredibly expensive, I mean, whatever the equivalent of a sort of Rolls-Royce Phantom would have been in 1933, coming down the drive incredibly fast, probably dangerously fast. And behind the wheel is a masked figure. Now, this isn't a man with no face. This is someone who has a white mask covering the bottom half of his face. A bit like a surgical mask, but it is just like a long sort of draping over his chin, right down and covering up half his neck. And he zooms past you, spraying gravel in all directions.
Do I see Esther in the car at all as he speeds past?
Give me a spot hidden.
That's a fail. I rolled an 83 out of 50.
You're pretty sure you didn't, but anyone else would like to give a spot hidden? That is more.
Do I recognize the guy as Aston Hawks?
I got it.
Give me an idea roll.
32 versus a. No, 32 versus a 25.
I failed with a 71 versus 80.
My guy. Did you one pass?
No.
And I followed that up with a 99.
100. A full-on 100. Wow.
Okay, so with a 100, I feel that something bad
should
happen. Has anyone got any suggestions?
Oh,
I've got a really good idea. So, Finn, you kind of like push a branch back to try and get a really good sight of the car, but you don't see anything, so you're at 99, but you let go of the branch and it kind of flicks back and slams straight into Agatha, who, full in the face, knocking her back. And I'm gonna need a dodge roll.
we'll finish that.
Okay.
But I do have a question.
Okay. What is my dodge? Where is it?
Half dex.
Half dex is 30. That's a 12. I still get out of the way.
12. Wow. Like it does smack you right in the face, knocking you to the ground. But you kind of get yourself up, and you're no worse for wear other than being covered in mud. So, Dave, what
sorry
were you
about
saying,
that. is it the kind of...
With a 99, you don't even notice you've done
it. Is it the kind of masks that were worn by the guys who kicked the living shit out of me?
You think it rings a bell, yes.
I'll turn and look at Thomas and say, was that your car?
That wasn't my car, no. I don't know who that was, but that man was wearing a mask. So I feel like this lead may be onto something. Let's keep going.
In the back of the farmer's truck, are there any tools?
Ooh, like a shovel or a pitchfork or anything like that.
Give me a luck roll.
Yeah. Ooh, me or Dave.
We're such lucky people.
Right, I have 20 luck. And yep. I roll a 42.
I think we all have 20
I
rolled
a 43.
Luck.
So not everyone can roll on this. So it's the first person who has to roll. So the bed of the truck is empty. In fact, there are some rather large and heavy planks of wood.
But it has a crank, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I'm going to take the crank as a club.
Smart. Yeah.
So are you all staying with, going up the driveway towards the house, or does anyone want to follow this car using the truck?
I don't.
No, I want to go to the house.
There's no point trying to follow them.
House.
The way that clunk we'll is keeping up with that car.
Yeah.
So
we won't catch that.
Okay. Agatha.
Onward. Yeah.
You go to the... Do what you do best. Go to the front door. Okay. Create a scene. I'll sneak around the back with Thomas. You know the house, right, Thomas? It used to be yours.
And I'm the one who knows the house, so I'm the one who has to be here.
So, Thomas, I'm going to say that because this was your old house, you may describe a entrance that you know of that should still be an entrance. Like, how do you get in? How would you recommend that your team gets in?
There was a, not around the back, but around the side, rear left-hand side, there was a, oh, like a cat.
Hello.
There was a window in one of the basement windows that didn't fully shut, so we can be jimmied open pretty easy. And it's enough to fit someone through it too. To the basement of the house.
Okay, and we're all pretty, you know, ridiculously thin.
Yeah, so. We're all pretty
thin. Yeah.
That's true.
Probably all of us at the same time can fit in.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah. We just like pass right through like one.
We don't even fill it edge to edge, you know. So.
Nice.
So as you make your way up the, I don't think you'd probably go up the driveway, but maybe in the foliage near the driveway.
Yeah, like up the side, there's a hedge as a whole.
Niall
way up
Thomas, you are devastated in the unkempt nature of the gardens that you cultivated over the years that you owned this house.
My apple trees.
Oh.
My orange trees. My cabbages.
They not Thomas. Be looked after. They've been cut down.
Oh.
Oh, I got it. Fucking kill Roscoe,
right.
I swear
right.
to God.
So the there is a large kind of driveway in front of the house, and parked in front of it is a large black Cadillac, like the one described by Ada.
Okay.
Do I notice anything else? Like, is there anything new or out of the place in like the garden or around the house at all?
The garden is surprisingly dilapidated. There was a building over to one side, probably about 200 metres away, so quite far away from the house, which is where the servants lived. And the path leading to that is surprisingly overgrown.
Okay. All right. I really want to go over and check my car, but I don't want to get spotted, so we'll continue around to the back of the house where, well, back corner of the house where there's a window we can get in.
Okay, so you do find your side window. Give me a luck roll.
You fucker, it's gonna be nailed shut, isn't it? Fuck. Oh, that's a big fail.
So it's still there, but it seems that someone over the last few years that you've lost the house has fixed the lock. And so it's now no longer an easy entrance.
Okay, so
in fact, the whole window has been replaced.
I kind of look around as like, hold on, there's a secret to this. There's a trick to it. And I'll go around the corner and I pick up a rock. And I just flake it through the window and smash it.
Oh no.
And like immediately there's this kind of like flap of birds like fleeing out of the trees, and there's like a cessation in the buzzing of the various insects, and then it all kind of clears up and you're left in silence.
Nice. Subtle.
Bitter Thomas is the best Thomas.
For future reference, if you take whatever you're doing it and you wrap it in cloth, it'll make a lot less noise.
Yeah, but you shut up.
Kind of yeah, but
window.
Shut up.
If you stop talking, it makes a lot less noise too.
So you kind of like crawl one by one into the cellar, into the basement, and it's really warm. Like, this is where the furnace is, and this huge cast iron furnace is burning with light and actually lights up much of the cellar, which is completely empty, other than wood and coal. And you kind of feel warm for the first time in memory. Oh. Like, this has been the first time, actually. You almost feel like you want to curl up in front of this fire and feel better.
I'm actually going to do that.
I know there's like a small pantry down here too.
There is, so there is a root cellar. So this is where you keep things like jars of preserves, including, I don't know, things, not just like jams and things, but things like gherkins and stuff like that. But you've also got potatoes and other things you keep in a root cellar that doesn't
exist.
I run
straight to potatoes. Start eating them raw. No, I get like,
it's in my blood.
Yeah. Oh, potatoes. I missed them. Oh, it reminds me of the old country.
Class.
What else do we notice about this furnace room?
Yeah, do I notice anything out of place?
So the furnace room itself is pretty empty, other than sort of wood and coal and stuff. But the root cellar, which is a room off the furnace room, has also been mainly adapted into a wine cellar, and there is a case of wine there.
There's a case of wine there? Not anymore.
I am over by the actual furnace. I grab a shovel and I throw it over to Finn Anders, and I grab a, like, I don't know. There's probably other things there, like shovels, stokes, and stuff like that that I can take.
I have a walking stick, so I'm just gonna use that.
I have a knife.
I'm okay. Fine. I pull out my revolver.
Shit, we're all like, what?
I just pull it out from between, you know, from between the boobs. I'm like, it's what my eyes. I'm not using the right accent.
She's southern. Remember, she's southern.
She's very southern. This is what my husband used to blow his brains out. So I've just held on to it ever since. It's still got 5 bullets left in it.
And on that bombshell, I think we're gonna end the episode on that. Thank you very much, everyone, for playing. And thank you, everyone at home, for listening. I've been Joe Trin. I've been the keeper tonight, guys. Do you want to share any ways we can contact you and anything's going on that you'd like to plug? Let's start off with Curran.
Hey, I'm Curran, and you can catch me on Twitter at HowWeRollCurran or on the HowWeRoll Discord.
Brilliant. Lisa, where can people get hold of you?
Lisa Lee, you can find me on Twitter at Lisa Bell, 2 I's in Lisa, and on the HowWeRoll Discord. Come say hi to us there.
Fantastic. And Niall?
I am on the How We Roll Discord. Other than that, I'm not really on social media, so you'll have to just get in the Discord to talk to me.
He's stealthy. He's too hard to find.
Hidden in a pub in Canada.
Skulking behind a bar.
And Dave, is there any way people can get contact with you?
Yes, I've set up a special email account for people who want to get a hold of me. I do not guarantee I shall respond speedily because of things. But it's BartholomewOrmond at gmail.com. It'll be in the doobly-doo.
Amazing. And I'll try and post this many weeks before, because this won't be out for 6 weeks. And lastly, Lindy, thank you so much for joining us again. And where else can you be found?
Thanks for having me again. I am playing the belligerent drunk lady, after all. You know, just not necessarily the most welcome person. You can find me online on Twitter and Twitch at LaughLoveLindy, doing lots of Call of Cthulhu in Dungeons & Dragons.
Amazing. And again, thank you so much for playing, and thank you everyone at home for listening. We will be back next week with the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to hear next week's episode right now and help support the show as well, then you can donate at patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast. Our Patreons keep the show running, so thank you so much to everyone who's donated, and thank you to Ben Tucker and Erin Saunders for becoming our latest supporters. Before we go, our partners at Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms would like to give you a gold chest. All you need to do is log on to the game through Steam and enter this code WOTSHAGG SYNCBLOG. I've been told the codes currently won't work through their mobile platform, but definitely will work through Steam. All that remains to be said is a big thank you to everyone who has subscribed to us on iTunes or even left us a review. So thank you, Jaman Weird from Canada, and Dynamic Engineer of Sonic Flagellation, and Azamon Kith from the USA. As always, a big thank you to BattleBards for use of their sound effects and music. You should definitely check them out at battlebards.com. That's all from us, and we will see you next week.